Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio in the Lehigh Valley. I'm John Pierce, your host tonight, along with John Dodds, who has come along to co-host with me. John is Brand and Marketing Communications Director of Air Products and Chemicals, and there's a reason why John agreed to come on. And I thank you very much for that, John.
It's a pleasure, John. Look forward to it.
And that is that our guest this evening is Mr. Edward Donnelly, who is former president, chairman, and CEO of Air Products and Chemicals, a company that is one of the very largest in the Lehigh Valley. And Mr. Donnelly, if our listeners have been around the Lehigh Valley very long, they have seen Ed Donnelly's picture in the paper and articles about Air Products and all those things. So, Mr. Donnelly, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Donnelly joined Air Products and Chemicals in 1943. John, what were you doing in 1943?
I think I had about 10 years to go before I was even thought of, actually.
There you go. And I was 2 years old. He became president in 1966 and chairman in 1978. He retired from Air Products in 1986. He graduated. Going back now in time, he graduated from Lawrence Technical University in 1943 with a bachelor's degree of mechanical engineering and completed the advanced management program at Harvard Business School. In 1986-87, he was chairman of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that, John?
I did. I had a sneak view of a video, so I was aware of that, actually.
Wow. We're going to ask Mr. Donnelly if that turned out to be a full-time position. Huh? Sounds like a big one. U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
No, I was working and had management responsibilities at Air Products during all those years. So it was a sideline, but it was a very important sideline. And it exposed Air Products and me personally to business organizations all over the United States and all over the world, because U.S. Chamber of Commerce has affiliated chambers of commerce in, I think it's 100 different countries around the world.
Interesting. Well, Mr. Donnelly has served on many boards. There are too many to mention here, but just to give you a little smattering, an emeritus trustee of Carnegie Mellon University, member of their Chemical Engineering Advisory Board, board of directors of Lehigh Valley Partnership and the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, community services for children, Head Start. Mr. Donnelly has received numerous honorary degrees and awards, including one from Lehigh University, I learned this morning, including the Society of Chemical Industries Chemical Industry Medal in 1980 for contributions to the industry. Mr. Ed Donnelly has a fascinating story to tell, so I'd like to go back way before the years of Air Products and Chemicals, and let's start off with beginnings on a farm in Michigan.
Well, I was born, as you said, in 1921, and my father worked in the city of Detroit during the 1920s, which were prosperous times, but then the economy crashed in 1929, and we were forced to retreat from the city and go back to the farm where my father had originated. And during those years, in my junior high school and high school years, I lived in a log cabin that had been built by my great-grandfather in the 1840s, and went to a one-room schoolhouse, then went to a small, recently formed high school where there were 8 students in my graduating class in 1939, I think that was. And I wanted to go to college, but nobody from my high school class went to college. They were farm children, as I was. And college was not something that was discussed or even considered in that community and under those circumstances. So I went to I took my transcript, and I was a teacher's pet in that high school. The teachers gave me all A's. So I took my transcript, and I hitchhiked 50 miles to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and applied for admission there. But the admission officer looked over my record, and he made a phone call, and he said to me, "Your college isn't even accredited. You're not eligible to become a freshman at the University of Michigan." That was a great disappointment to me, naturally, but I didn't anything I could do about that. So I went home, and as I was hitchhiking back to my home, I stopped in a town there, the county seat, and I noticed in the courthouse that there were young men and boys standing in line for something. And so, "What are they doing?" I said to myself. And I went over and inquired, and they were lined up applying to be admitted to the CCC, which was an employment program initiated in the Franklin Roosevelt administration to get kids, particularly poor kids, off the streets and into some kind of employment. And so I applied for that. I wasn't old enough. It had to be 18, and I wasn't 18 yet. But I took the application form and went home and got my mother and my father. I think they both signed it. And a week later, I was sent to this logging camp in northern Michigan. And the high school I'd gone to didn't teach algebra, so I was at a disadvantage from going to engineering school. But they did teach, believe it or not, to farm children shorthand and typing, because those were subjects that the teaching staff there had some knowledge of. Well, when I got to the CCC camp, the camps were run by the Army. The commanding officer of our particular camp was an Army officer, and when he looked over my record, realized that I knew how to do typing and shorthand, for my good fortune, he took me into the office and made me his secretary, rather than sending me out in the woods to dig ditches and plant trees and so forth. And so I used that occasion to write letters of applications to other colleges that I knew little about. And one of the colleges I wrote to was Lawrence Tech, which was then a newly formed college. It was in a rented building, which had been rented from the Ford Motor Company. And I got accepted with the tuition for the first 2 years, provided that I maintained a B-plus average. And that was what I really wanted, so I took it to the boss, the commanding officer of the camp, a major in the Army at that time. And I said, "I have this opportunity to go to college, and I'd like to take advantage of it." And he looked over the papers, and he spoke the lingo of the Army. He said, "You cut the order and I'll sign it." And so within a couple of days, I was on a train going to Detroit and got admitted to Lawrence Tech, and 4 years later graduated with my degree in mechanical engineering.
Do you remember how much the tuition was in those days?
Lawrence Tech in those days had terms rather than semesters. So the year had three terms. And the tuition was $55 per term.
Oh, my goodness.
You wouldn't get a good lunch for that.
$55 was a lot to me.
Yeah, right.
I didn't have 55 cents.
That's a great story of beginning. And then you move on, and Tennessee comes into the picture eventually.
Well, at Lawrence Tech, we were in Detroit, and we were about a half a mile away from the also rented building that the founder of Air Products, Leonard Poole, had started a company to do research and development work on producing oxygen, extracting oxygen from the air and producing it for, and originally his idea was for commercial purposes. In the meantime, the war had started in Europe, and the U.S. wasn't in the war yet, but the British were. And the British bombers were experiencing massive losses as they flew retaliation. German Air Force was bombing England, and English bombers were bombing Germany. But the British were suffering very severe losses, and it was clear to American military observers who were watching that program carefully that we would eventually be in the war, and we had to get our oxygen on our board, our bombers, so they could fly at higher altitude to avoid being shot down by a German anti-aircraft. So Air Products had a tentative development contract from the U.S. Army to develop an apparatus to separate oxygen from the air and put it on the bombers. And that was successful. In the meantime, I had an opportunity to get a job part-time when I was in my third year at college to work part-time at Air Products, which I did. And the successful development of the oxygen unit was achieved. And then the Army said, well, we want hundreds of those units built. And we have a government-owned factory in Tennessee, which we'd like to transfer your company to, and you go there and start producing this work, as these units, as rapidly as you can. So there were about 14 employees made up the full staff of the company at that time, and we went to Tennessee and occupied this unused government-owned building and started producing these units. Well, we had to build up the staff because we were a small fraction of the human employees that we knew that we needed to achieve this work. So we began to hire other people, and after about a year, the staff of 14 or 15 people had been built up to about 500 people. And we operated there with that staff during the war. One of the people who was hired in that program was a person named Inez Cantrell, who had come from a farm in Alabama, cotton farm, where she and her siblings were sharecroppers picking cotton. And she had not gone to college, but she had become a secretary in another small company in Tennessee at that time, Chattanooga. And she became, I was given the pretentious title of chief engineer, although I was only 21 years old, and she was made my secretary. So we carried on through the war, and when the war ended, the contracts were all canceled, and we were given termination pay and so forth. And then the company, under a very dynamic leader, the founder, Leonard Poole, determined that the company would continue in its commercial enterprises, and he went to Wall Street and raised a modest amount of capital to finance the company, located a used factory building in the Lehigh Valley, and came there and began the commercial enterprise of the company based on, to some substantial degree, on the technical know-how that we had achieved during the war.
And from that, those beginnings, now you said once upon a time that you were the 11th employee to be hired by Air Products.
Yes, there's a little bit of question mark about that because this company was so small and so new that the records weren't very very accurate. And some people said, well, you must have been the 12th employee.
So you were either the 11th or the 12th apostle.
Yeah.
And so from those beginnings, now we have a company in the Lehigh Valley with over 21,000 employees. What an explosion through the years in just numbers of people.
Yes. Well, the company is operating in 100 and some odd countries around the world now, both with offices and factories and gas plants and other chemical plants. And so the roughly 21,000 employees are located about one-third in the U.S., with a substantial amount here in the Lehigh Valley, where we have our executive management and substantial part of our research and development. Although we also have research and development facilities in Asia and in Japan particularly, and in Europe as well now.
Mr. Ed Donnelly is our guest this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. He mentioned a young lady named Inez. When we come back from our break, I want him to tell us how he and she got together, because it turned out to be a lifelong experience for both of them. John Pierce, along with John Dodds this evening, will be back in 60 seconds.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side, presenting Journey, Dream of the Red Pavilion, the first of two productions in Touchstone's initiative, Journey from the East, investigating the history of Chinese immigration in the Lehigh Valley, April 3rd through the 13th. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
And we're back with Mr. Ed Donnelly, former president, chairman, and CEO of Air Products and Chemicals, and my co-host this evening, John Dodds, who is brand and marketing communications director at Air Products right now. Mr. Donnelly, how about this young lady named Inez? What happened there? How did the two of you get together?
Well, she was employed along with about 500 other people, and we got started in the government-owned factory in Chattanooga. And she became secretary to the engineering department and my secretary. And we worked during the war very diligently, 7 days a week, actually. Many Sunday mornings we were in the office trying to catch up with the things because of the urgency of what we were doing for the war effort. And so we had a very typical office work relationship, not a romance. But after the war ended and the contracts were canceled, and I returned to Detroit because the company that built the engines to power our oxygen plants was located in Detroit. And at that time, there was very high regard for German technology, military technology in particular. And that company put together a team of engineers, not Air Products, but the engine company, to go to Germany and study all the German technology, the rockets, the tanks, and so forth. And I was offered the job to go there and do that. And so I went. And I was at that for 2 or 3 years, making trips back and forth to Germany. In the meantime, I was living in Detroit. Inez was still in Chattanooga. And she wrote me a letter. She said that her sister had married a GI who had been finished his military service as a war and had lived in Cleveland. And she said, I'm coming to Cleveland to visit my sister, and Cleveland isn't very far from Detroit, so I think I'll come and visit you as well. So she came, and while there she applied for and got a job in Detroit, and then our business relationship evolved into a romantic relationship. And a year or so later, we were married and had a very happy marriage for 67 years until she died about a year ago.
Congratulations on that long marriage. John? Absolutely.
Yes, Mr. Donnelly. Well, quite apart from being an honor just to be sitting next to you, anyone that works at Air Products knows you as being not only a pioneer but a wonderful man, and that in itself is a tribute to all that you've achieved, both in business and in the community. One of the things that struck me when I joined the company in London was that people said here nothing is more important than safety, not revenue, not profits. And what struck me was that this was true not only in London where I work, but across all of our operations. And that is something that's very difficult to do, to have a vision and have it executed and have it follow through for decades afterwards. How do you think that that was achieved?
I think it was achieved because, first of all, we were producing pure oxygen. And that was going into various, after the war now I'm talking, commercial applications of that dangerous product. And oxygen, if allowed to become contaminated with any carbonaceous material, can create violent explosions. And just the nature of the product was such that it was clear to many of us, and particularly clear to me, that we had to concentrate on the technology, the safety of the technology, or disasters would occur. And so I one time addressed the annual meeting, and I said, this safety, because of the nature of our product, is our number one priority. And I said to the annual meeting, safety is more important than anything else. It's more important than sales. It's more important than profit. It's our number one priority. Well, that was surprised people in Wall Street, who our stock was on the New York Stock Exchange by that time. But people in the investment community began to see and reinforce their view that that was the number one priority for this company or any company dealing with hazardous materials. So it just became built into our company philosophy and company psychology. And I'm very pleased to see now that half a century later that philosophy still pervades everything that the company does.
Absolutely. And it not only in business, but I think so many of our employees take that philosophy home as well, which is a wonderful thing. Now, you came through the ranks at a very important time for our company. It was growing. And, of course, you were working under Leonard Poole, who really was a true innovator. And I know that a number of the comments that you've made refer to some of the points that he's made in the past about never give up and why not. Tell me a little bit about him as a character, working with him, and some of those comments.
Well, a characteristic of Leonard Poole is that he had great vision of the future. He was always thinking beyond what might be on the table today, but what could be on the table in the future. And he said that that's where we want to go. And I would, from time to time, have some idea, and I'd go to him and say, Leonard, what do you think about we do so-and-so? And his response would almost always be, why not? And so that was a license to go ahead and try whatever the idea was. And he brought that vision to activities outside the company. His wife died from cancer, and he became concerned that the health care services in the Lehigh Valley should be improved, and he turned his attention from the company growth to the development of health care. He really created the genesis of what is now the Lehigh Valley Health Network, formerly called Allentown Hospital, and it's by any standard, national standard, local standard, a preeminent health system. So he just had the ability to have a vision and then stimulate others to carry out the vision.
And indeed, he helped create a major innovation in the marketplace with the whole idea of the on-site philosophy. For those that don't know the industry too well, we used to truck lots of gas to large refiners and companies by trucks, and he had the idea of why not build our plant right next to the refiner and pipe it. And that was a major innovation at the time. We were a leader then, and we still are.
That's true, and that concept is prevalent throughout the United States and prevalent on 100-plus areas around the world, in Europe and Asia and Latin America. And so that concept of his has become the genesis of this gas industry around the globe.
Now, another area that people may not know is, although I'm sure many people in the community have felt it, is Air Products' philosophy of giving back. A lot of companies support it, but Air Products actively encourages it. I'm involved with WDIY, and hundreds of my colleagues are involved on boards and marketing committees of community organizations around the world. How do you think that came about? Why is it that our company has that wonderfully balanced approach to working and giving back?
I think that it just seemed like a natural course of events to us. Several of us, including Leonard Poole himself and my case and others, were individuals whose childhood had been in the Depression and in areas both here in America and around the world where the effects of the Depression were felt. And it seemed natural to us to want to do our fair share wherever we were located on whatever would seem to be benefit to the community. I myself thought that enhanced education would improve the quality of life for an individual and also provide an educated workforce which would help the economy of the countries wherever we were operating in the world. And so we concentrated on that aspect of community service and healthcare and other fields.
And Dexter was very much involved with the arts as well. And so the Lehigh Valley has benefited so much from the vision and the generosity of Air Products leadership such as yourself. Now, you've mentioned in education that you feel that it's a precious gift. How do you think that other people feel about that? Do you think that it's a given, or do they feel that it really is a gift?
I feel it's a gift, and I think that idea is becoming more accepted. If you look at the American education system at the present time, public education is divided into two more or less equal size education systems. Affluent families live in affluent suburbs, and their schools are financed at a level that's high, and their children have an opportunity to get really high-quality education. They become better citizens and so forth. But the other half of the education system, which is approximately another 50 million children, are concentrated usually in farms and in inner cities where the money available for education is far more limited than it is in affluent suburbs. The children in the inner cities are, in many cases, the children of single mothers. In many cases, children where English is not their primary language, and they're at a disadvantage to learn. And the records of testing show that those children fail to get adequately educated so they can play a constructive role in the modern technological society, which has become characteristic of the United States and all the other industrialized parts of the world now. So to bring those children who are disadvantaged up to a level that their advantaged counterparts have is, I believe, a very important mission. It's good for those children, good for their families, and it's good for the economy of the countries where we operate because it provides a more skilled workforce for the future.
And I think that companies like Air Products support not only your own education programs, but also the continuing development of their own employees. We have the CDP program, which is where kids from university come in and they go around the organization. So there's a before they settle on a particular job. So this whole element of education is a continuous process. And I think that it's so important that, as you say, it's a precious gift. But it's a gift that you have to remember and remind yourself throughout your life, rather than just as you go through from kindergarten right the way through college. When you come into Air Products, and you had a recent event with our chairman, which was very well attended, there were lots of younger people asking you different questions. How do you feel about the company now when you look at the company, the breadth of diversity, the breadth of operations? How does it feel like to you to be a part of something special like that?
Well, it feels to me that I had given to me a gift to be able to join this nascent company when it was in the early phases of development and to play a role and observe the development from a small cadre of about a dozen human beings to now several hundred thousand, 25,000 roughly, employees in 100 different countries around the world. It was a stroke of good fortune that befell me, and it gave me a vision of what industry can do, what a company can do, what any group of dedicated individuals can do on their own behalf and on behalf of the communities that they serve.
And do you think that it becomes even more difficult these days to have a balance between the work that you do and what you give back and how the attention that you pay to your family?
I think that it is more difficult. And it's difficult because the technology of the world is changing so rapidly. And the need for understanding the advanced technology is so great that a person cannot succeed in an industrial world or a commercial world of any kind unless they have the benefit of the rapidly changing technology. For those individuals who are fortunate enough to get exposed to the education so that they're able to cope with the issues that are prevalent in our modern society, those individuals are very fortunate indeed. And part of the job that I think we, every one of us as citizens, should have, whether we're citizens of the United States or citizens of any other country around the world, to do what we can to provide those opportunities is in our self-interest as well as the interest of the individuals who get the benefit of the enhanced education.
Our guest this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse is Mr. Ed Donnelly, whom you have just heard. He is the former president, chairman, and CEO of Air Products and Chemicals. My co-host, John Dodds, who is brand and marketing communications director of Air Products. John, maybe we'll get into a little bit of how you came to come to Air Products. And our engineer this evening, Elizabeth Parcells. Thank you for your good work, Elizabeth. We're taking a break now. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Chamber Music Society of Bethlehem, presenting the Daedalus Quartet, performing works of Purcell, Britten, and Beethoven, Friday, April 11th, 7:30 p.m. at Moravian College, Foy Concert Hall. For information, cmsob.org.
And we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse, chatting this evening with Mr. Edward Donnelly, former president, chairman, and CEO of Air Products and Chemicals. Ed Donnelly mentioned to us his relationship with Inez, originally Inez Cantrell. They met at young ages and fell in love and became married and were married for 67 years.
That's right.
Last year, Inez died, and this was the tribute that we put on the air on Lehigh Valley Discourse at that time. Inez Donnelly died in January of 2013 at the age of 97 after dedicating nearly 70 years to volunteer work in the Lehigh Valley. She was the widow of Edward Donnelly, CEO of Air Products. They met in 1943 when she began working as his secretary when the company was still located in Tennessee. They later followed the business to the Lehigh Valley. Inez and her husband were major supporters of Kids Peace, donating more than $1.5 million to that organization to help children and teenagers with behavioral and mental health challenges. Their names grace buildings on the campuses of Kids Peace, a testament to their continued support of that work. Their historic gift of $1 million was used to create the Donnelly Therapeutic Education Center in Orfield, a place where children learn, play, and heal. The Lehigh Valley has lost a major philanthropist with the passing of Inez Donnelly. She had Alzheimer's disease and died in January 2013 at 97 years of age. What a wonderful legacy. Oh. And John, you were going to ask about his children, and I think you're going to find out that they've left a legacy. Ed Donnelly and Inez have left the legacy for their children to follow.
Absolutely, and I think they must have been brought up extremely well because one of the kids was captain of the soccer team at Princeton and has been recently to Manchester United, so you must have brought them up extremely well.
Well, that's Tom, the older of our two sons. It wasn't hard to bring him up. He had the instinctive genes, I think, for being a superb athlete, and he did that at college at Princeton and was captain of the soccer team. And the old boy network that he's now almost 60 years old, they just returned from spending 2 weeks approximately in England watching soccer matches and reveling in their memories of their youth.
What a wonderful way to see
England. Does he now speak the way John Dodds does?
I'm sure he's working on it.
Only 2 weeks, that's not enough time, right? And what about the other children?
Well, Martha is a psychologist, PhD from the University of Minnesota. She's on the board of a medical school at Dartmouth College, and is a practicing psychologist in that medical school. Her husband is a MD cardiologist in the same medical school, so that's what she does. Then Tom's younger brother, John, was a undergraduate at Harvard and got a master's degree in law and business at the University of Chicago. He's a partner in a law firm in Chicago.
Well, certainly they understood the power and value of education. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I think I saw on one of the videos is that, I think it was Tom that mentioned it, is that you're an avid reader. Tell me a little bit about what you read or what you enjoy finding out.
Well, I belong to the book club at Kirkland Village, where I live now, and we meet once a month and have an assignment given, and I have so many other activities it's hard to read as much as I would like to, but the members of the club select the readings, and so we have a pretty heterogeneous selection of books to read. I think we are somewhat biased toward historical books and historical stories, but I find that very enjoyable. There's so much in the world right now going on, wherever it is in the Middle East or around the world, that keeping up reading of the background of these conflicts that seem to be so prevalent these days is itself an opportunity to keep busy and learn something about what's happening in the world.
Now, I'm sure you won't mind me mentioning the fact that you celebrated your 92nd birthday with Air Products recently, and we had a nice cake for you. But people will think, how does someone who's 92 years old have such a wonderfully lucid, inquiring mind? How do you feed it, and how do you stay healthy and keep that that passion?
Well, I exercise every morning. That's one thing. And I think both Inez and I were blessed with genes which made it possible for us to have a long and active life, and that's a blessing that just befell us.
I'm interested too, John, in Mr. Donnelly saying that he has so many activities going on now that he finds less time to read than he would like. What are some of those activities?
Well, I'm on the Community Services for Children Board, and that's a Head Start contractor for the Lehigh Valley, which provides education for young children, particularly children from impoverished homes. Governor Corbett has continued the council that was formed for carrying on that work under his predecessor, Ed Rendell. And I'll be in Harrisburg on Tuesday this coming week for a meeting with the governor about carrying that work on, and that's an opportunity to provide the circumstances which enable children who otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity for education to start at very early age, third grade, and 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds. And so that's a thing that takes a good deal of my time. We also have a new program here in the Lehigh Valley, which we're trying to get better organized every day. We had a meeting a week ago. We had about 50 people there from business and education to develop what's called STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. That's a movement that's sweeping across the country, having a significant influence on the development of education processes. President Obama dealt with it in his State of the Union message. So we want to have the Lehigh Valley be in a leadership role regarding the development of those parts of the education system, and we're working diligently on that and are getting a lot of support throughout the community.
So education, again, is a really big item in Mr. Donnelly's life, always has been. And from the beginning that he described to us as coming from a one-room schoolhouse, 8 children in the graduating class of the high school, which was not accredited, and yet he came to be this giant of a successful business leader, and also, as you point out, John, a community leader in philanthropy and in giving back to the community. Question for you, Mr. Donnelly, is how far along were you in your career that your parents could see what you were doing?
Well, my father died when he was quite young, so I was, he didn't see that. But my mother lived until she was nearly 90, and she was aware of that. She had come from an impoverished rural part of Michigan as well and didn't finish high school. But she did, under the laws of the state at that time, have a one-year course and become a teacher in a public school system. And then to maintain those credentials, she went to night school at Wayne University in Detroit. At age 67, she got her bachelor's degree.
Wonderful.
And so she lived long enough to see what her children were doing.
Did she ever come to the Lehigh Valley to live?
No, she never lived here, but she came to visit us from time to time.
Now, you have a wonderfully disarming sense of humor. It's a relationship builder. Do you think that business has got too serious and we're forgetting about the essence of relationships in how we do business with each other?
I think we better not let that happen. After all, we're human beings and we have emotional responsive reactions among ourselves. And if we make those too formal or too severe, then the spirit of comradeship and the spirit of we can do it won't survive and thrive as it has in the past. And so that's a precious aspect. I think it's an American aspect, but it's not limited to America. The same attitude of comradeship is very strong among human beings wherever they are.
John, there's a wonderful series. I want to put in a plug for it that is organized by the YWCA. And I mention it because Mr. Donnelly is on that organizing committee, would be no surprise to us. But it's an 8-week series called Great Decisions, Foreign Policy Lecture Series. And he made allusion a few minutes ago to all the things that are happening in the world, the different countries. And just to give you the titles of the talks, what happens is the YWCA produces a very attractive booklet. And there's an article written by, or several articles on whatever the topic is, written by somebody, and that goes out all over the country to these different venues. And here in the Lehigh Valley, it happens to take place at Kirkland Village. And so the 8 lecture topics are defense technology, Israel, Turkey, Islamic awakening, energy independence, food and climate. And by the way, one of our speakers was from Air Products and Chemicals. Mr. Donnelly, who was that?
That was the head of our energy department. Air Products spends around $20-odd million annually to purchase the energy in the various countries where we operate to run the plants. So Air Products has been forced to have a knowledgeable penetration of the economics of the energy production. And that means geopolitical understanding of where the oil is, where the natural gas is, and so forth.
And that was Stephen Pastor. Do you know him?
I know him well, yes.
Okay.
Steve,
right. Yes. Well, he was over to give one of these lectures. They are excellent lectures. So what happens is the YWCA gets this booklet put together that they distribute all over the country, and then the local venues choose people to speak on the same topic and to refer sometimes to these articles in the booklet. And so Stephen Pastor was one of those speakers. China's foreign policy was included and U.S. trade policy. These are really excellent. It's as if you went to a college campus and heard a serious lecture on these topics. It's a wonderful program.
Yes, I agree, and I enjoy that very much. I think you mentioned, or somebody mentioned, that I did serve as chairman of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. U.S. Chamber of Commerce has affiliated chambers in 100-and-some-odd countries around the world. So my experience in that role gave me access to experts who are knowledgeable about the kind of issues that the Foreign Policy Association stands behind regarding these programs that you just mentioned. And we're able to attract speakers We have some excellent speakers from colleges and universities right here in the Lehigh Valley, but we also get some from foreign sites as well.
Right.
When I came to the Lehigh Valley, Mr. Donnelly, it was quite undeveloped. And there's been an explosion of both culture, recreation, and just opportunities, whether it be the new hockey arena that's being built, whether it was the Arts Quest complex, whether it was so many of the new music and recreational activity. The Iron Pigs is, again, a huge success. When you look at that, what kind of feelings do you have?
I feel delighted that these opportunities are developing and continuing to expand and develop. I was on the original committee for formation of the Allentown Art Museum, which is an ingredient of the items that you referred to. And I think that that's good for the people who participate in it. It's good for the community. It makes it possible, actually, for an industrial corporation to have an enhanced recruiting opportunity. Because when you, if your Air Products or any other industrial firm headquarters in the Lehigh Valley, and you go out to recruit the best people you can from colleges and universities and graduate schools all over America and all over the, you're an example yourself, all over the world, you can tell the recruiting, the person you're attempting to recruit, all about the good features of the company, but then they often say, tell me about the cultural environment of your community. What's it going to be like if I come here and raise my children here? And fortunately, we're getting a more optimistic, more realistic opportunity to describe the Lehigh Valley in advantageous terms along those cultural lines.
John Dodds, I take it from what I've heard of you speak that you are not a native of the Lehigh Valley, yet you made your way here how many years ago?
15 years ago. We were coming for 3 years, and then it became four, then it became five, and now it's for life. And it was the right decision. We, our children grew up here. When I talk to my friends in London about the music I see, the places I go just in the Lehigh Valley, they are amazed at the choices we have. And I think, as Mr. Donnelly said, it's growing. I love sport. I love music. It's all here. And it's really, I would encourage everyone who hasn't been down to the Symphony Hall on a Friday night for the jazz, or gone to Arts Quest to listen to music, or gone to the Iron Pigs, all of these wonderful opportunities are here for us, and they're very accessible, and it's making it a very exciting place to live and to develop.
Well, we're very glad that you're a volunteer here at WDIY, John.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in and co-hosting with me today on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce. Our board operator, Elizabeth Parcells, doing her great job as usual, and we're so pleased to have had Mr. Edward Donnelly, former president, chairman, and CEO of Air Products and Chemicals, to join us this evening. And as you go about your week, remember to be gentle with your neighbor. We'll be right back.